The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted that you are here. Mr. Outdoors joins the program. Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts over at RogueWeather.com. Outdoor report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, Airway Drive in Medford. And, of course, Greg Roberts is keeping you informed on RogueWeather.com. Do you do any other social media? I see you on Facebook, but I don't know. You still doing the MeWe thing here, Greg?
Yeah, welcome back. Absolutely. Still do the MeWe thing. And, again, the reason is when we post something over there, every single person who follows us is going to see that post. It's not, there's no algorithm games happening over there.
Although I have noticed that Facebook has been lightening up on, you know, it used to be that I would do posts and it went nowhere. You can know that they were just putting a boot on my neck because they didn't like me, you know, that kind of thing. But they've kind of released that. That seems to be changing a bit. I don't know. But it seems better.
To a degree. And if you can do videos, better, because, of course, they're fighting that competition battle with TikTok. So anything you do that's video is going to get higher penetration out to the people following you. But, you know, even then, you know, we've got 87,000 plus people who are following us over on Facebook, and even the video post may get to maybe 10% of that. So I hold on to MeWe just because I like it, because it is a true First Amendment platform, and every single post we make gets to everybody who follows us over there.
And that's important. That's how things used to be on all the socials, but not necessarily now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask, this is something which has intrigued me. I was reading an article in Oregon Live. I think Willamette Week had this too. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has put out a Facebook post. I don't know if you caught this, but it has to do with they're encouraging us to eat nutrias. I don't know how you pronounce it, but those furry rat type.
Nutria.
Yeah, those furry rat type animals that have apparently infested a lot of the waterways here in the state of Oregon. Have you ever had one? Have you ever eaten one? Just curious.
No, but, you know, in a survival situation, if I did my own form of Les Stroud Survivor Man, they absolutely would be top of the menu. Because for what you will get in terms of protein, it won't require a whole lot of your effort to get one. But with nutria, where that began, honestly, people were getting them thinking they would literally get into the fur trade with them. And then, obviously, demand for nutria fur never took off. And so then they were, released into the wild, and then sadly we discovered, as many rodents will do, they prolifically bred and quickly started expanding. I can't remember where they originally, you know,
well they're native to South America.
They're native to South America, right? But here in North America, I can't remember where the dump point was that they've spread out over a huge portion of this country. I think the only areas that don't see them are, you know, high altitude elevations. They really do not like areas with sustained cold. But here in our area, yeah, they're present. It gets a little harder at first glance to tell them apart from a muskrat, but nutria are bigger. And, you know, like a lot of rodents are, they can be very destructive digging into banks along any kind of water.
Yeah, I noticed the Forest Service is saying, Fish and Wildlife saying, they're nonstop munching and burrowing destroy the plants that keep the marshes stable and leads to erosion. So that's what they're doing. They're just eating. So in other words, we have illegal alien rodents here.
That's essentially it. And, you know, in Oregon, if it's an invasive species, you're allowed to kill it 24/7, 365, provided you have a hunting license. But once you have that, where it comes to nutria, you can kill them any way you want, in any number that you want. There is no bag limit. There's no nothing, because they want them eradicated. And it sounds like U.S. Fish and Wildlife is adopting Oregon's stance. An Oregon stance on any invasive species is to do just that.
In fact, the headline is Save a Swamp.
The invasive species we have, probably the tastiest ones to eat would be the collared doves. And even though it's a year-round open season, no bag limit on collared doves, we have collared doves in great abundance. So
now, are collared doves the ones that we just think of as pigeons around here for the most part?
Collared doves, they at first look will resemble the mourning dove, but then when you really get a good look at them, they're bigger than a mourning dove. They have a prominent black band on the back of their neck area, right below the head and ahead of the main body, and then their tails are much bigger with white in them than the mourning doves will be. And like I said, that's probably the tastiest thing here in Oregon that is an invasive species, and you can take pretty much any time you want. But collared doves, not being stupid, are far more commonly seen inside cities and other you-can't-shoot-me zones, neener, neener, neener.
Uh-huh.
You know, they know where to go.
Okay, all right. So Save a Swamp, saute a nutria. A nutria is what they're saying over at Fish and Wildlife. All right. What are we looking at here for the outdoor activity over the next few days? Looks like the weather's going to be pretty good, and it's right back to winter.
It's going to be very nice early spring weather. There is no doubt about that. But once we get through the weekend, I was listening to what Bobby J was saying in the weather forecast at the top of the hour. He has it exactly right. We're going to see wind. We're going to see rain. Exactly when that begins is still something of a question. So keeps flipping back and forth, you know, on the model output as, is it going to start Monday? Is it going to start Tuesday? Well, I noticed Bobby just played the safe route and said, by the middle of next week, but he did leave out one very significant component of what is arriving next week.
What's that?
Heavy mountain snow.
Oh.
Above 3,000 feet. We're going to be measuring it off in feet, not inches. And a great way that I'm going to be keeping track of this, the Clouser Drilling Crater Lake snow report that we do over on Rogue Weather, because it looks like Crater Lake is definitely going to be getting a big dump of snow. So too will Diamond Lake. Yes, Mount Ashland looks like it's also going to see significant snow arriving. You know, Miracle March, well, not so much at those higher elevations, because it's already been a really good winter above 5,000 feet. But that 3,500 foot to 5,000 foot range, which is so critical to us for water, that definitely looks like it's going to get another big, substantial dump of snow on it, which, okay, now we're starting to touch on where you can say this is going to be a miracle March, because at one point this winter, as we've been discussing this, I was pretty concerned about the lack of snow between 3,000 and 5,000 feet.
Yes.
And we definitely improved upon that, and we've got more really heavy snow coming that's going to hit that elevation point. So, yeah, far less concerned now about how things are going to look just based on the amount of snow we're going to wind up seeing in that 3,000 to 5,000 foot range. And a reminder again, why is this so critical? We have a huge percentage of our landmass here in that zone, and for water storage, building snowpack, water in the reservoirs later, that's all, it's really critical stuff, and this definitely will help reduce what we had been looking at and the potential of seeing a lot of very active fires, because now you're going to get really good fuel moisture content in that 3,000 to 5,000 foot range. So on the whole, this forecast coming ahead, while some people may hate it, is really going to be very beneficial for us as we get down into the summer months and into fire season.
All right, glad to hear that. Greg Roberts, once again, he holds down the fort at RogueWeather.com Outdoor Report today. And, you know, Betty writes me about, you know, back on the Nutria here.
Uh-huh.
And Betty writes me from Grants Pass, says, Bill, there was a Nutria farm out at Rogue River near the veneer mill along Interstate 5. And when they shut it down, they just turned the critters loose. Not worth the bother, to slaughter and process the hides, is what she claims.
See,
that's interesting.
And that's exactly how we wound up getting Nutria on the landscape. Obviously, that's been done here, there, and everywhere, but mm-hmm. there was a really big facility, and I don't remember where it was, that literally released them in the thousands. And, you know, being rodents, doing what rodents do, breeding prolifically, being pretty adaptable to everything except extremely cold environments, because, again, if this is a native South American animal, it just exploded across North America. I know the more southern reaches of Canada, like Ontario, where it's not nearly as cold, there are Nutria into those areas of Canada that don't get extreme cold. So, yeah, they moved well across the North American continent, and, yeah, it just became a major nightmare out on the landscape.
All right, very good. Let me grab a quick call for you. I think it's a call for you. We'll find out. And, hi, who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, good morning. This is Terry.
Hey, Terry. You want to talk with Greg? You're on with Greg at Rogue Weather.
Yeah, with the Nutria, and I've hunted, obviously, but with shooting an invasive species, do you have to collect the – what do you do with the body once you shoot it? Do you have to collect it? What do you do with it? Do you leave it on the land?
Okay. The meat on these things, while it doesn't sound like most people go, Nutria, it is actually – it's an edible – animal down in South America. They eat these things. They also eat the larger size rodents that they have down there in South America. Yeah, they think nothing of eating these things. As I said, is it something I'm going to go out because, well, Bill, you're going to love this. Instead of wild turkey surprise, are we going to have wild Nutria surprise?
Wild turkey surprise. Yeah, well, I love that reference.
Am I looking to do that? No.
Okay.
But like I said, when I go into my full-on Les Stroud Survivor Man version of me.
Yeah, you could eat it. But I guess what you're getting at, though, is that you can just shoot it and leave it there, I guess, is what.
Well, Is it illegal? Okay, I didn't know if you could just leave it there, or you get in trouble, or what?
No, because this is a little different. And again, when I said, as long as you've got a valid hunting license, it's a 24/7, 365, no size, no number limit.
No tag, nothing like that.
Because they want them eradicated.
All right, very good.
That's the point.
And that's all we needed to do, take it away. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, anything else we need to know before we take off and get ready here?
No, in this case, this is one of the few times. There are other things. English sparrows, starlings are not protected. You can shoot as many of those things as you want. Are you going to take and eat an English sparrow or a starling? No. So Nutria is now in that class. They want them dead.
Okay.
What you do with it after they're dead is up to you, but U.S. Fish and Wildlife is pointing out that you can eat them, and down in South America, they definitely do eat them.
Yeah, wild Nutria surprise. All right. Hey, Greg, great weekend. Great talk as always. And I'm glad to have you back on the normal time on Fridays. It's a great way to get into the weekend. All right.
Glad. Gee, I'll tell you what. Once I started telling people we were back to Fridays, it was rapturous joy.
Oh, good. Good. Hey, we'll see you then. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com, and we will catch you next Friday. And if something breaks and goes crazy, you can always give me a call, okay? Thank you.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. All right. Sponsor of the Outdoor Report every Friday, and we appreciate that. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford, 7:30 at KMED.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas
House. That's 541-295-8100.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
It's 7:32. Jeff's here. Hello, Jeff. You want to make sure that we know about and remember that tomorrow, Senate Bill 762, it's the big fight And this is the big meeting in White City going on, right?
Right. Yeah, from 2 to 4 p.m. at the White Mountain Middle School, White City, which is on, 550? Oh, you can find it. I forgot the address.
Yeah, just go to White City, turn left, or turn left or turn right. You'll find it, okay?
Yeah, White Mountain Middle School. put it in your GPS and you're there.
Okay, fair enough. And okay, I know so, that Senator
Robinson, Representative McIntyre, Commissioner Roberts, are going to be there along with other officials. And then Bob Hart's going to do his presentation to open it up. Because March 10th is still the deadline, irrespective of what Governor Kotek said about a delay.
Mm-hmm. Well, all they're doing is delaying the administrative events. That's all.
By the deadline, but we'll hold on to those and we'll give it to the judge later.
Yeah, indeed. And what's your website again? I know that, Jeff, you have been working really hard to have another, clearinghouse for information on 762.
Well, yeah, it's undo762.org.
Yeah, undo762.org. Jeff's information
is up there. And I'll also be discussing, the Senate bills 73, 77, 78, and 79, which it limits whether or not you can operate a home-based business, keeps counties from rezoning land use, limits the size of replacement structures on your property, and outlaw any dwellings to be built on private land within the wildland-urban interface or contain wildlife habitat.
And it also limits the number of employees you can have in your home-based business.
Well, like a bed and breakfast thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah. Now, I love it. In fact, nothing makes me feel more protected when I have the state that's looking out for me telling me how many people I'm allowed to hire. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah, and where are they going to get the money for their wildfire suppression costs now? Because they want to add new taxes, they want to raise property taxes, they want to take it from the kicker or the lottery proceeds.
Yeah, I think the lottery proceeds are pretty much tapped out by everything else, but I could be wrong about that. Hey, before you take off, though, Matt, before you take off, I have to ask you, have you ever eaten a Nutria?
there's a guy on YouTube that does Mousetrap Mondays.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about Nutria, and he kills one and eats it, but I don't do rodents.
Well, I'm thinking I know what's going to happen, how this could happen, because when you have Fish and Wildlife and everybody else saying, hey, go ahead, saute a Nutria and save a swamp. That's their slogan right now, right, to get these. And I'm thinking, how do you do it, all right? Now, maybe people like you and me don't care about eating Nutrias, but you know who probably would? Ashland Liberals. You know why?
Well, I do not know.
Okay, all you have to do is, let's say it's some enterprising food truck operator. Let's say it was Peruvian Point, right? Peru, South America, right? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Culture. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Indigenous culture. You could be like a South American, eat like a South American. And by the way, I'm just teasing Peruvian Point. I love their food, by the way. It's good stuff. But anyway, think about this. They could have a Nutria burger, and they could say, not only is it a Nutria burger, it's a nutritious Nutria burger. It's
right.
And you're respecting the indigenous people of South America. And you could see all the Ashland Liberals going up, oh, I can eat meat and feel good about it. And then they could actually make that popular, and it could work out really well because they'll look at this from the, oh, my gosh, I'm able to, help out these and remove these animals. I'll be just like a South American peasant. Okay.
Yeah. Do we have to saute them, or can they be roasted, broasted, or broiled?
I would imagine being meat, you could do whatever you would do with any other meat. Okay.
And Nutria filet.
Yeah, Nutria filet. We could see it in the, you could have the co-op, the Ashland co-op, the Medford co-op, and various other things. And maybe we could talk to, Cartwrights. Maybe get Cartwrights,
Yes, expand your culinary cultural horizons.
Yeah, but you know that the Ashland folks would go nuts for this. Oh, wow, did you try the sauce on that Nutria? This is great Nutria. I can't wait.
I don't know, Bill. An animal has to lose its life in order for that to happen.
Okay, there it is. You're punching a hole in my cultural food experience in Southern Oregon. Oh, well.
But it's okay in other cultures.
That's true, because they don't mind the animal losing the life, their life is okay in South America. So, okay, see, there's a license. There's a license for that, all right?
Well, yeah, maybe we can somehow say that it's, what's the fake meat thing? What do they call that stuff? I don't know because I don't eat it.
Forget the name of it because I try to ignore that too because I'll get back to you on that one. Thanks, Jeff. All right, let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Miner Dave. I got two things. One on nutrients, and it's an interesting story. I'll tell that in a second. But Churchill called the United States the arsenal of democracy during when he was trying to get us to come in to help him out with the Nazis. And so we're no longer the arsenal of democracy. It's China is the arsenal of dictators.
Okay, now give me your nutria story.
I was working at Providence Hospital, and I was down.
Oh, no, you're not telling me they have that on the menu, do they?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was back in the
80s. You know, hospital food, you have to ask, right?
No. What happened was is a nurse was coming down to the break room that's on the ground floor that's next to the food place, and all of a sudden she starts screaming, "A big rat!" Well, I came running out. I grabbed a mop and I beat it out of. We forced it out. I was beating it with a mop to get it to calm the nurse down.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I found out it was a nutrient. This thing was huge.
Oh, they're massive. They're very big. You know, a few pounds. But they look like rats, they kind of look like a cross between a rat and a beaver, you know, that kind of thing, something like that, you know?
But what it did is it came from the field that was next to Providence. That field now is a bunch of doctor's offices, but back then it was just an open field.
All right. Hey, thanks for the story. Good to know that. I'm just glad they didn't add it to the menu, but you never know. Maybe we can make this part of our culture here in Southern Oregon. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Morning, this is David in Phoenix.
Hello, David.
Well, the selling vegetarian.
Okay, one more time here again.
Nutrias are vegetarians.
That's right. So that way you could sell it to animal-loving liberals by saying
it's all good.
You're eating vegetarians.
Thanks a lot.
All right. I like that. You know, how do you sell nutria to the people, right? Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello? Hello? Yeah, hi, you're on. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jim from Butte Falls.
Hi, Jim. You ever have a nutria?
No, but I was running a trap line since I was 10 years old. I've eaten a lot of beaver.
Uh-huh.
And it's a rich red meat, got more protein than beef, you know, and they're a vegetarian. They eat bark.
Mm-hmm.
I lived a couple winters on muskrat. Same thing. They ate grass and roots, so...
You have to make sure and avoid the scent glands, though, don't you? You have to make sure that those don't get in the meat, right?
Any animal.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Since you are already into eating, you know, such animals, I'm going to make you the test subject. Could you find a nutria and serve it up and tell me what you think? Okay.
I'll try that and get back to you.
All right. You do that. You're going to be our test case here in Southern Oregon from Butte Falls. This is the Bill Myers Show.
American Industrial Door.
Owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
Really appreciate you waking up here on Friday morning. It's March 7th, and yep, it's going to be nice and pretty warm this weekend. Then we get back to winter midweek next time, huh? I guess so. Joey Chester joins me this morning, and he is from the Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. Been happy to talk with him, and a great organization. It's been working the border problem for a long, long time. Joey, welcome back. Wanted to catch up with you. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. And I guess we are doing well on the border because the fair folks, along with others, were down on the border kind of doing an investigative visit this week. Would that be a fair assessment of what we're looking at right now? What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, one of the things that we like to do at fair is actually get on the ground and see what's happening ourselves outside of whatever the media is reporting or what elected officials are saying. We like to go out to these places and talk to the people that are living this reality on a daily basis. And so that's what we did this past week. We flew out to Arizona, specifically to Cochise County, Arizona, where we met with a border rancher and the local sheriff's office. And then from there, we actually made our way over to San Diego, California, which, if you remember, is where there were mass street releases of illegal aliens happening at the height of the border crisis under the Biden administration. And out there, we toured an ICE facility where they're detaining illegal aliens. And then we also met with one of the Republican San Diego County supervisors who has been pushing back against what is the city's super sanctuary policy. So it was fascinating. The border is a night and day difference. And they all said it happened on January 20th. There was an immediate change down at the border.
Because they knew people coming across the border realized there was a different sheriff, there's going to be a different policy. So it really had nothing to do then with comprehensive immigration reform, which is what the left has been trying to sell to people. Oh, gosh, the only way we're going to do this is with comprehensive immigration reform and hand-wringing and all the rest. So that was a lie, huh?
It was. And look, the numbers speak for themselves down at the border. We met with a border rancher named John Ladd, and he has a significant portion of the border wall on his ranch.
Now, John Ladd, I think I talked to him when I was at one of those one of your Hold Their Feet to the Fire broadcasts a few years ago. John Ladd, is that the one that had that essentially they have to leave water in places out there and illegal aliens are always breaking into their barns and stealing equipment and doing things like that? Is that the rancher that I'm speaking of?
Yeah, and on his property, it's interesting too. There's these floodgates that are part of the border wall. Mm-hmm. And in monsoon season in Arizona, they would open these floodgates so that the water and debris could go through, even though there's already slats in the border wall. And so there's these massive floodgates that the Border Patrol was opening up, and illegal aliens were just walking right through across this property. And by his estimate, he thinks a couple hundred thousand illegal aliens have crossed through his ranch over the last couple of decades, with a real height of those under the Biden admin. He was seeing about 300 gotaways per day coming onto his ranch, and that has dropped to a maximum, he says, of about 10 per day. And the big difference right now, too, is the Border Patrol agents who are stationed down there are actually patrolling the border. And so when these gotaways get across, Border Patrol is quickly going out and finding them and apprehending them. And they're not simply being processed and released into the country. They're actually being detained and put into deportation proceedings. And so it gets back to, you're right, we never needed a border bill to solve what was happening under Biden. Really, all the president had to do, as Trump has demonstrated, is enforce existing immigration law. That's really what it comes down to. Now, we still want to see a border bill get passed through Congress so that it stops another president from doing what Joe Biden did. But this whole idea that we needed some bipartisan bill to solve the border crisis was always false. All Biden had to do was enforce the law. He simply did not want to. That's exactly it. He never wanted to enforce the law. He openly defied immigration law and invented his own policies.
Hmm. Joey Chester, once again, from the Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. Joey, I wanted to ask you about self-deporting. I know the president has talked about, and many of his supporters have talked about, what has been going on since the inauguration and even the election, a bit of self-deporting. Is there any evidence to show that maybe we are seeing border crossings, but we're seeing border crossings going the other way, you know, in which, you know, instead of looking at hundreds or if not thousands a day coming across, that they're going south? Do we know?
Well, it is interesting. We have some evidence. There's been reports in some South and Central American news agencies that have said that migrants on their way to the southern border are actually turning around and heading back. And so that is evidence that at least migrants south of the border are turning around and heading back. And now, as far as self-deportation in the country currently, you know, one of the things that Kristi Noem is really pushing is she's saying, look, you've got to leave the country now. Because if we come and find you and deport you, you're going to have zero chance to ever come back to America. But if you leave the country on your own, you may eventually have a chance to come back and do it the right way. Now, additionally, when you have President Trump targeting things like federal benefits for illegal aliens, they know that Tom Homan is out in these communities arresting illegal aliens. You are going to see, I think, a decent number of illegal aliens that say, you know what? They're right. It's time to go home. I'm in the wrong. I'm going to leave. And, you know, maybe I can do this the right way in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think they could have picked a better person than Tom Homan to do this, because all I had to do was just look back. You know, there's that picture of him out there when he was a young man as a Border Patrol agent. Have you seen that one, Joey, in which, you know, he's got the Border Patrol white hat on and he kind of looks like a movie. Like a movie sheriff who was ready to pull out Buford Posseter walking tall kind of thing, you know? And he just looked serious as a heart attack. You know? So I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, yeah, he's the one that needed to do this. And he kind of pugilistic, you know, he just gets in people's faces about this. And I think he's had, that's a lot of the reason there's been such success down there. I think people can watch him on television on a cable news show and realize he's serious. He's not going to be taking any guff from anybody on this. It's amazing. What a difference.
He's not. And I think, too, for Tom Homan, and one of the things I really like about him is this is a guy who has done this for decades. He has been on the front lines with these agents. He knows the processes.
And he knows all the excuses that people will give. And it's just like, nope, not going to do it. We're going to have to, you know, send you back. That's just all there is to it. Yeah, we're going to keep the families together. We'll send the family back, is what he said. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe hearing something like that from an actual official. And people would look around uncomfortably. You mean you would send the whole family back? Yeah. Yeah. Well, why wouldn't we? Because that's it. We're going to keep the family together, and we're not going to worry about that. It just astounds me. What a different tone and action that we're seeing down there.
Yeah, and those sorts of rhetoric makes a huge difference. Look, illegal aliens, would-be illegal aliens thinking about coming here, they are rational actors, and they are going to respond to things that folks like Tom Homan are saying. And for Homan, I think it's really clear, too, this is not political to him. He believes in enforcing America's laws. We are a nation that was built on laws. And Tom Homan understands that completely. And one of my favorite things that he is doing is going after these sanctuary jurisdictions, working with people like Attorney General Pam Bondi, because these sanctuary jurisdictions, as you saw during this House hearing this week, they're protecting criminal illegal aliens. The only sanctuary in these sanctuary jurisdictions is for criminals. There's nothing that protects American citizens in these communities. It puts American citizens' lives at risk. And so I love that Homan has been just going after these sanctuary leaders and saying, look, you can either work with us or we're going to come into your communities anyways, and we're going to find these people and we're going to get them out of there and we're going to protect the American people.
Joey, do you know if anybody from Oregon was at those or you know, any officials were being called on the carpet over that, or was that mostly with the larger sanctuary states? Because Oregon is a sanctuary state. It is something that I think we were the first state to do something stupid like that. Oregon's always good at doing the stupid things first. back in the 1987, I believe, is when we did this. And our attorney general is puffing his little pigeon chest out there and talking about how we're going to sue and we're going to protect this and we're going to stop this. And I don't know, is it only because Bondi hasn't decided to turn the guns on Oregon yet? What do you think? Any thoughts about it?
Yeah, so I think the Trump administration's priorities right now are going after these really large sanctuary jurisdictions. You know, the first one was specifically the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, and then she targeted New York. I imagine that Boston is going to be next. You know, Massachusetts is a state where, you know, on a regular basis, we see stories about illegal aliens being arrested for things like child rape. I mean, really horrific crimes. And Massachusetts and Boston sanctuary policies are protecting these illegal aliens. And so I think what the Trump administration is doing is targeting these large cities where there is a huge number of very dangerous public safety threat illegal aliens that they need to get out of these cities, that they're currently being protected by the sanctuary policies. But I do think it's important that we go after some of these smaller cities and states as well. And I do think that we'll see Congress try to do something with federal funding for all sanctuary jurisdictions, because that could be a major wake-up call for these places to say, look, you've got to get in line and enforce the law and work with federal immigration authorities.
You know something, Joey, it's been pretty clear that California has been wide open for a long time, long, long time, given the the shared border with Mexico there. Has anything changed there, and is even California looking to perhaps change its sanctuary status, or is there just too much illegal alien presence there to do that politically? What do you think about that? What's the overall tone, I guess, the take on it?
Well, California is actually the opposite.
Really?
Since President Trump got elected, they have super sanctuaried themselves. You know, Gavin Newsom called a special session of the legislature to Trump-proof the state, including millions of dollars to fight these large-scale deportation efforts. The city of Los Angeles doubled down on its sanctuary policies. The county of San Diego has doubled down on sanctuary policies. Now, one of the things that is different is the actual number of illegal crossings is dropping along the California border, like everywhere else. But we met with San Diego County Supervisor Jim Desmond, who is one of the reasonable people on the County Board of Supervisors.
Okay, so you found two people in California that are reasonable. It's good, good, good.
Yes, there are a few of them. And he said what the illegal aliens, what the smugglers are doing now is they are sending boats onto the beaches in California in these wealthy, super liberal cities. And so the illegal aliens, they will literally beach a boat with 20 to 50 illegal aliens on it. They will run off the boat and into the communities. And he said that the local police could be sitting right there and watching this happen, and they are banned from doing anything about it. So they just have to sit and watch as these illegal aliens run into the communities and then disappear. And so, you know, the cartels, the smugglers, are not going to give up this massive income stream that they were getting under Biden. They're looking for new ways to get illegals into the country. And these boat smuggling routes are one way to do that. And they're seeing an increase of it.
Something tells me that Bondi and Homan, when they get around to turning their guns on, and I'm not talking about guns, you know, literally, but sure, their legal guns and enforcement arms onto California, boy, get out the popcorn. That's going to be a big undertaking, you know, when that comes, because that really is the, the linchpin for the country still at this point, along with, I think Arizona has been more happy to tighten up. Would that be fair to say, tighten up on some of this, or am I wrong about that? What about Arizona?
No, you're right, Bill. And, you know, Arizona, it's interesting. You know, a lot of the localities like Cochise County, the sheriff's office has an entire border unit where they are tracking gotaways that come across the border. Even the Democrat governor in Arizona, Katie Hobbs, signed an executive order that allows the state to work closer with immigration authorities. So Arizona is much more reasonable. And I think, too, you just have more of those, I guess you would say, conservative localities who are willing to work with federal authorities when it comes to immigration. So, I mean, the difference between California and Arizona is night and day. And the same with Texas. I mean, Texas for years now has been working to secure the border. You know, we were there last year, and it was incredible what Texas has done. I think it's even better now with the new administration because they can work even closer with federal immigration authorities.
And hopefully you don't have the federal government fighting the state government in this case, which was what was happening under the Biden administration. You know, the Biden administration wouldn't want to do anything and wouldn't want to try to protect the people. The state would, and then the federal government would sue them, and unfortunately it would win, right? You'd find federal judge that would pretty much knock them down. Too bad, but that's
it was incredibly frustrating. You know, you remember the buoys, and you know Arizona also had tried to put up just shipping containers to stop illegal aliens from crossing, and it was shut down. So it was insanity for years and years and years, and we finally have a change. And I will say it again, though, we need Congress to also act to codify President Trump's border policies in the law, because the last thing any of us want is to see, and whether it's 4 years from now or 8 years or 12 years, we don't want to see another open borders president.
Yeah, you don't want to have another executive order just undoing it and going back to anarchy on the line. Okay. Hey, Joey, appreciate the report from the border, and thanks so much. And fairus.org, read up on this. Please support the organization, and we'll have you back. You be well, okay? Take care.
Thanks, Bill. Talk soon.
Joey Chester. It is 8 o'clock at KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
Two Dogs Fabricating. Carry.